Hello, everybody.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Hollywood Reimagined podcast. My name is Tulia Ferraro, and I'm here with Fred Copeland. Let's see if he's on. Hello? One moment. Okay, while we try to figure this out, I'm just going to introduce the podcast a little bit. This podcast was created to talk about the business a little bit, as well as covering some of the Cineplex Studios projects, current and future. Talk about what it is to be an actor, what it is to be a producer, what it is to be a writer. We're going to cover a lot of topics, and we're going to have some guests as well from some of the Cineplex Studios projects. So right now, once again, I'm going to wait for my co-host to log in, and we'll see where this takes us. Hello?
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Hi, Fred.
Hey, how you doing?
All right, I'm good. How are you?
Good.
Okay.
So our
very first podcast. Yeah, in the meanwhile, when I was waiting to reconnect with you, I just said, like, in general, what it is that we're going to be talking about on this podcast, just, like, very broadly. But now that I got you on here, the first question that I would like to ask is our very own title of the podcast, so Hollywood Reimagined. Why did you decide to choose this title, and what do you mean by seeing a Hollywood that is reimagined?
Well, Hollywood is, most people consider Hollywood the Wild Wild West. I've heard that from many different actors over the years. And there is no real rule book. There's no real guidelines, if you will, direction. Everyone just kind of does what they want to do. And I figured, you know, it needs a little bit of structure to it and a little bit of re-envisioning, meaning that, you know, they've been doing things the same way for decades. And here comes, at the time, it was called New Media, which is now streaming video. And very little has changed besides the fact that, you know, you have a new outlet now. And so, one thing I noticed in working with actors, especially when I first started doing this back in 2009, is once an actor comes out of acting school, there's nothing for them besides endless auditions.
Yep.
I mean, I'm not knocking the process. It's just the fact that, you know, they need to gain experience. They need something more than just throw them into the fire.
Absolutely.
And so, you know, the old saying goes, well, I need a job, but you have to have experience to get the job. You know, so
right.
That's a catch-22 scenario.
Exactly.
So I figured, well, let's put a stop to that, and let's look at the process. And let's put something in place to help the actors gain the experience to get the jobs.
Absolutely.
And so that's why I created Cineplex Studios, is to give actors the ability to gain experience while they're waiting for those big, you know, high-paying jobs. And, you know, of course, the IMDb credit, the footage, you know, the whole nine yards. And follow through with that. They'll just, you know, do a project halfway and leave it, you know, because something happened, something came up. But actually, you know, release and put it out there for, you know, they can cringe if they look at it 20 years from now, that's fine.
absolutely.
but they can gain experience in the meantime, which is something that I've discovered no one else, to my knowledge, offers in Hollywood.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of my little niche.
That's very, yeah.
So that's the whole purpose behind the re-envisioning, the reimagining. Is imagine it that you come out of acting school and gain experience and use that to leverage to get those good paying jobs in the future. And that's my reimagining.
I feel like that's very thoughtful, and I feel like there should be. I agree with you. I haven't heard of anybody else that's kind of like doing that in the industry. I feel like Hollywood now, it's become such a, I want to say like greedy and very like, it's a very close group of people that only like, it's like the cool kids can only hang out with them. So it's like they're not given a lot of opportunities, as you said, to the actors, the up-and-coming actors that are just starting to gain any kind of experience, and kind of like they are waiting for that one in a million person that's going to be able to join the club, or they're just not going to acknowledge any other actor that, as you said, for example, have just come out of school. So I feel like that's a very noble thing that you're doing to help actors to kind of like establish themselves when they're first starting in this business. You said that you started the company in 2009, back in 2009?
I started back in 2004, but we started really, you know, pursuing the whole acting thing with the actors getting experience in 2009.
Okay, nice, nice. Did you have any, like, idea why you named it Cineflex Studios, or that was just, like, the name
It's a name I came up with. I thought it was pretty cool. Back in 2004, that's when I actually registered it. Back then, you know, you kind of looked for a domain name. It was available. That's yours. It means that no one else had it.
Right.
So I kind of grabbed it at the time and held on to it, not doing anything with that for several years.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, kind of find out since then, it's become quite a valuable name. I mean, it's worth a lot of money. Yeah.
Well, that's very good. And speaking of, since we just mentioned going back to 2009 and 2004, do you want to mention some of the past projects that you've done through Cineplex Studios? What were the projects that you were the most excited about? What took the most effort? What took, just if you want to highlight some of the past projects that you've done with Cineplex Studios?
Well, the first one I did back in 2009 was a pilot called Destiny, which actually starred my daughter at the time. She was 18.
I didn't know that.
She played Destiny. Yeah. She played Destiny, and in the series, you know, that I was just starting out back then. You know, dealing with actors on a full-time basis, and you know, of course, I wasn't looking out for some of the bad apples that are out there, so to speak. And so they got into the cast, and you know, one particular guy, you know, he set out to destroy the production. I mean, he even told me so, point blank. So yeah, I had to deal with a lot of drama behind the scenes with that one. And however, in the story itself, I created a sci-fi element about clones, and I named them Journeys. And I was so fascinated with this whole mythology that came out of this story, and it just kind of took a life on unto itself. And so the next one I did was called Journeys. It was a trilogy, a series, and they're about 45 minutes long. Each episode was about 45 minutes long. And I even brought in a composer who was a grad from USC music school to score the series. And it was a very time-consuming process, so to speak, because, you know, it was so unique and different, you know, that he wanted me to be there during the scoring session with him at all times. And that actually lasted like 3 or 4 months. Just to score it. But that's a score I've continued to use to this day, over and over and over, because it's so good. And, you know, it's amazing. The story itself is now in its 11th season with you being the star of it.
Yes, indeed. Indeed.
Yeah.
That's cool. Yeah, that's cool to learn about this part too, about journeys. I didn't know that you got a composer from. That's also like exactly what you were talking about. Like you got to work as a composer of somebody that just graduated from college. So that again, like goes back to what we were talking about before, to like your idea of Hollywood being reimagined. So that's really cool.
Yeah. And also the fact that, you know, you need to give it exposure. The show needs exposure because very few people know these exist, because we don't have the big time Hollywood budget, you know, because most productions, especially in film, 2/3 of the budget is advertising and marketing.
Which
is a lot of money, considering the fact that, you know, you have these high paid actors, and you know, look at money they get, and imagine, you know, 2 times that just in advertising. And you know, that's an insane amount of money, which we clearly don't have. So, you know, we just kind of have the, you know, we've been on the radar for the most part, but you know, our audience is mainly outside of Hollywood. They're not inside Hollywood. So it's been a task and challenge to get the word out outside of California to, you know, for people to see the shows. But yeah, we've been doing it slowly but surely.
This is what we're doing right now.
Yeah, I'm very excited to be a part of, you know, the actors' learning process. And I learn stuff all the time, too. I mean, it's not just, you know, teaching them of being in front of cameras. It's about the interaction. It's about, you know, the all the technical stuff behind the scenes when you're on location filming that I still continue to learn to this day, you know, and stuff I, you know, sometimes I'll make a mistake, you know, behind the camera. And, you know, I know what it is, but no one else can see it.
Right.
You don't recognize it, but I do, and I kind of kick myself for that. So I'm still learning. So we're all learning together. So it's a good process.
Absolutely. I don't think that any artist will ever get to a point where he can just, he or she can just say like, yeah, I made it. This is it. Like, I have nothing more to learn. I have nothing more to improve. I feel like with arts, it's very common to just try and better yourself day after day after day. Like, there's never going to be a finish line where you can just cross and be like, okay, that's it. I don't have to work anymore. I've done it all. So obviously those like type of mistakes or those like type of, you know, things that happen throughout the journey or journeys. Oh, sorry. That was a terrible term. No, those type of things are going to happen all the time. So you just need to, again, like learn and move on. And that's how you grow. That's how you become a better artist.
All right. And, you know, we also showed a pilot with you for Journey already.
Mm-hmm.
It's already been released. So what about, you know, tell a little about your experience in, you know, just that initial pilot, playing that character, what you had to go through to prepare as an actor, and how you wanted to be different than previous actors. You know, just go a little bit about that. What did you do about all that?
So for me, it was just when I first approached the character, or I should say characters, it was just very exciting because I've never done anything like that, sci-fi genre in general, and plus like having to play different characters as myself, having to play different characters. So I feel like that already was challenging in a way, but really, really exciting in another way, because I got to play Journey. I got to play, well, now I'm gonna get to play Jerain, which is kind of like the thesis and the antithesis of this whole project. So I think I learned a lot from it, and having to like know my character so well that I could just switch in a day of shooting from one polar opposite to the other. And I feel like this is the type of experience or even learning process that it's not always offered to like young upcoming actors. So I definitely really appreciated the help that you gave me throughout shooting the show, and even just like the opportunity to be a part of it. Cause again, like it's been challenging, but also very, very exciting and motivating to be better, for the future episodes or for future projects in general.
Yeah, and then also you were so good, we also brought you on as a lead for Pacific Breeze.
Pacific Breeze, exactly. Speaking of, we have another guest, which is Mr. Jake. I'm going to let him in the podcast as well. And he's also – Jake, can you hear us?
Yeah, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Hello. How are you doing?
I'm good. Thanks for having me.
Of course. You want to introduce yourself real quick so that our audience knows
sure.
who you are? Yes.
All right. I'm Jake Jensen. I am working on a feature film with Fred and Celia called Believe. And then I'm also going to be in the new season of Pacific Breeze.
Yes. Pacific Breeze. Fred, do you want to introduce this show a little bit and then maybe I can ask you and Jake some questions about it or whatever you want to share at the beginning about this project?
Yeah, Pacific Breeze I'm very excited about. It's very much a modern day story. It's kind of an LA version of Hawaii Five-O, what I tell everybody. But this particular season, this is our second season for Pacific Breeze, and this particular season, we're dealing with the issue of the Hawaiian sovereignty movement. So we have an actual Hawaiian actress as one of the stars in it.
Mm-hmm.
And she's very excited about it because it's, you know, we'll get it as an education experience for our audience as well. What is the Hawaiian sovereignty movement? What's it all about? You know, which is something happening in real life, but we're putting it in a fictional format.
Mm-hmm.
It's very much like a nighttime soap opera style production,
mm-hmm.
but it's got some adventure in it, and with your character especially, and Jake's character is very mysterious because we're not sure if he's a good guy or a bad guy. And with your character specifically, she's definitely someone that doesn't give a darn about the rules and, you know, kind
mm-hmm.
of throw the rule book out. So with your knowledge, both of you actually, maybe the two of you can tell the audience your view of your character and what you've read the script so far, because we've yet to shoot it.
Yeah. I feel like just a quick comment, then I'll let Jake speak first, but I feel like Jake's character are the most fun character to play. You can fool the audience up until like the point where they actually realize, okay, this is like the side that I want to stand on. But I feel like those are the most interesting characters. They have so many layers, but obviously I love my character as well, but I just wanted to point that out, that I really like characters like the one that Jake's playing.
Yeah, it's fun. It's a fun character for me to play because it's very different than any character I've played before. And, you know, whether he's a good guy or a bad guy, I don't know yet as an actor. So it's kind of,
mm-hmm.
it's going to be fun to discover what drives him, what motivates him, what his intentions really are. And I'm excited to see what Fred, as he writes the series, continues to write it, is going to, where these characters are going to go, you know, I'm not sure yet. So it'll be kind of fun discovery.
Mm-hmm.
And also just let the audience know, Julia's character is a kind of semi-retired Secret Service agent who puts herself back into the force after the discovery of, you know, the Hawaiian sovereignty movement. And she's got people out against her and for her, and, you know, and she's kind of having to, you know, discover what she truly believes in herself.
Mm-hmm.
And then as far as Jake goes, he's running for mayor to oust the current mayor. And because of that, he's attracted the interest of, shall we say, a not so nice corporation.
Mm-hmm.
Who doesn't like to play well with others.
Mm-hmm.
Who's trying to recruit him to be in their corner. And we shall see if he decides to go that direction or not.
I feel like based on just what Jake said before that, like, he doesn't know where his character is going to go from here. I feel like that's also like a big difference between movies and TV shows is that actors, when they're acting, you know, in a movie, they get to read the whole script. So they kind of like, they have to, of course, like, don't play the end of the scene or the end of the script, but like they are aware of where the story is going majority of the time. While shooting a TV show, I feel like it's so much more fascinating because the characters and the actors kind of like learn at the same pace what's going to, like, it's new information for both the character and the actor that's playing the character. And I feel like that's always been something really, really fun for me. That you don't really know where the story is going until you read the script for the next episode. And I feel like that's very exciting and fun to play.
I would agree with that. And I think it's, you know, playing a politician as well, you don't never know where politicians are going. So it kind of it works great with this TV, TV
absolutely.
Genre.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and then, but however, with the Believe film, Jake, which is something that I wrote, I didn't realize how long ago I started writing it. It was about 2017. It's gone through a couple of different, you know, versions, but we finally settled upon one and started filming it with you, you know, which is a complete original screenplay, which is hard to come by these days. But we managed to do it. But Jake, what attracted you to that particular production besides me wanting to do it? I mean, with you as an actor, what did you see in it from the acting point of view?
Well, you know, when I finally opened it up and read the script, I couldn't stop. I read it in one, you know, just I read it. I couldn't, like I said, I started and absolutely couldn't stop. But it was just for my character, Jason, the emotional roller coaster. I mean, he's a war veteran. I don't know how much I should say, but he's dying. He's falling in love with Evelyn. There's so much. There's like almost the full range of human emotions and human experience that he's lived. He's basically lived in a, you know, 35 years of life. And there was something, I mean, I remember I was crying, I was laughing, I was smiling. I was just, that emotional journey, just reading the script was really an amazing experience. And then the thought of getting to play that character as an actor, just, you know, I was very excited to work on this and continue to be.
You know, when it comes to the interaction with, I mean, you haven't had too much interaction with other cast members yet, because they're still filming it, but the ones you have, I mean, how has that influenced you as an actor, and how has that changed the character as you play them?
You know, I think that's the beauty of shooting over a longer period of time like we are, is that, you know, I really feel that, like, relationship with Nicole, who's playing Evelyn, is just, you know, it's getting stronger and stronger. And what's beautiful about that is that a relationship in real life develops that way. But it's fun as actors to have, just as more time goes on, I feel like there's a more and more of a connection and just kind of being in sync with each other and really being able to listen and play off of each other. But it, even I've done a couple other scenes with other actors. That's been really fun too, to, you know, get to work with different actors in this film. And, you know, you learn something, I think, from working with every actor. And so that's really fun for me to be able to have this whole ensemble cast that I get to work with. It's really exciting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and one more thing is I have to embarrass you, Jake. But
oh no!
The last thing we shot, where you had to, is a dream sequence, and you had to do something that you've never done before. And how did you overcome that experience there? without giving too
yeah,
much
I mean,
away.
I think we like to obviously be good at what we do, and it was very humbling to have to do a skill that I had never done before. I mean, in retrospect, maybe would have tried to practice it more on my own, but that also would have been challenging without really knowing what I was doing. So, you know, fortunately, I took some deep breaths, and Fred was very patient. Fred and Tulia both were very patient and let me rehearse and practice and, you know, didn't make me feel rushed. So that helped a lot. And I think, you know, fortunately, that wasn't our first day of shooting. I feel like we already have a certain level of trust and you know, we're all on the same page. So, but it definitely was a big learning experience as an actor to shoot those, what seemed like on paper simple scenes, but were not.
Absolutely.
That's what I enjoy doing, because, you know, this brings us around to the very start of the show, is the fact that, you know, I love to give opportunities to people who normally would not have that opportunity to learn that. Now he's going to take that experience and, you know, that'll be in the back of his mind for any future productions, you know, that are much larger scale, and he has the experience to build upon, versus if we weren't around, he can do it, he wouldn't have that. And so that's my point of the reimagining Hollywood in this little niche here is, I believe I discovered something that can truly, truly help actors, you know, gain experience that they would not normally have, and to apply that and go on to other productions. And so that's, again, that's just what I wanted to reemphasize.
Absolutely. And I feel like, again, like as you said, like once you get to work with a cast that's so like understanding of each other's like experience and process and, you know, just like work ethic, it becomes like very, very easy to open yourself up to like even more things that maybe you wouldn't have tried if it was like one of those big production company where you feel like if you mess up one little thing, you're going to get yelled at. I feel like in this type of environment, you're more willing to try new things and push yourself to become like a better actor or try things that you haven't tried before, because you know that you're going to have the support of your cast and your team. Hopefully that's what we were trying to transfer to Jake, who, by the way, did an amazing job.
We got it all.
Good. And I agree with Tulia on everything, but I also want to just emphasize that it's also great to do it on a real set, a live set. You know, you have things you can learn in class, but it's just, even, you know, I mean, I'm not putting down class, because I've been in lots of acting classes and have learned stuff, but there is something about doing it on a real set for a real project that's going to be out there on the circuit, you know, festival circuit or streaming or whatever, that made it, I mean, it's still good to do it under those kind of, that kind of pressure, even though, yes, I agree, this was much better than learning on a, you know, a $20 million set or something, but still it's a real, you know, it's a real movie set, a real, real acting experience. And I think that it's great to learn it in those situations as well.
Absolutely. We got about 15 seconds left, so I'm going to take this time to thank you guys for being part of this podcast. This was the first episode. I think it went great, and we're going to be around for next episodes. Thank you so much, guys.
Thank you.